But So you went to Bell Witch and Sleep?
I did, man. That was crazy. I can't believe how loud Sleep was. Not that I ever spend a lot of time thinking about how loud music is, but like we had seats like in the balcony.
Okay.
And there wasn't anybody sitting in front of me, so I kind of like draped my feet over the chair in front of me, and I could feel the sound waves like kicking against the bottoms of my feet.
It's awesome.
I mean, it was just insane. Yeah, I mean, even though I had earplugs in, I definitely couldn't hear well the next day. Normally, that would bother me, but it was actually kind of perfect.
That's
those guys are literally, you know, they're on another fucking level. I mean, the music isn't as serious as shit like Yob or whatever, but they are not fucking around.
Yeah, so they didn't. There wasn't like banter with the audience.
They said nothing.
I love it.
I do too. I don't like audience banter generally. I mean, it's fine, but I would prefer none of it.
Remember in the days where like it was kind of everything, you know, it was like crowd participation, and it's like and now it's like, I mean, when I saw Enslaved and I was so into the music, and then he goes into this little kind of crowd thing, I was like, shut the fuck up and keep playing.
I'm like, you guys are too good for this stupid shit.
Like, you don't need.
You don't need to say like fuck and all that. We get it. You guys are cool. You're fucking enslaved.
It's Enslaved doing like I was getting ready for him to do some sort of like chant, you know, like call and respond. It was like, what if? Why? You know, it's bizarre.
You guys are Vikings. Like, just we do not care.
I just wanted them to just keep playing. You know, it's like they had such a momentum, and it killed the momentum. And, you know.
And they didn't get enough time as it was anyway.
Exactly.
They definitely should be on a bill where it's just them and like one other band, and they should play for like 3 hours.
I agree. That would be insane. Or I would pay good money to see them perform that last album E in its entirety.
That's a great idea. I mean those guys,
that would be
sick. Are everything. they've taken like, I mean, they're not a prog band, you know, and there's plenty of great prog bands, but they've taken using prog in heavy music about as far as you can take it, in the sense of their songs are just like a whirlwind of ideas. It's kind of mind-blowing.
It is, isn't it?
And it's a bit, I mean, in his own way, those Esan albums are that way, but they're much more like pop music, you know? But he similarly, where you're like, in a 5-minute song or a 7-minute song or an 8-minute song, the amount of stuff that happens in one of those songs is pretty stunning. And, you know, it's funny because that Yob album is amazing, but part of what makes them great is not that much happens. You know, they've got 15 minutes of a pretty straightforward riff. There'll be a couple of like little turns or whatever. But Sleep, their commitment to really the invention of what I think is stoner metal is really mind blowing. I mean, I guess you could argue the Melvins too, but the Melvins are like fucking around more.
Right. There's a campiness in the Melvins that's probably not. There's a little campiness in the Sleep with the titles Marijuana Knot and, you know, the kind of the whole dope smoker, like the image around Sleep, but it sounds like, I mean, I haven't seen them live yet, but what you're describing, it sounds like, you know, when you see the Melvins, I've seen the Melvins live, and I thought they're phenomenal, but there was definitely a campiness live, too, like the way Buzz was. You know,
he's a weird dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was great, you know, but there was some irony kind of going on, so I'm excited to hear that Sleep, like, live has no use for that.
No, I mean, the thing that's crazy about them is
Journey is a dead scene. I was wondering where that expression came from when I said it in the opening phone dialogue with my real close buddy Jono, who's we're both in our late 40s and equally obsessed with metal, talking about I think we talked about, I don't know, 7 or 8 different bands in that 5-minute span. But Irony is a Dead Scene came to me because of how, when I see metal now, and Jono concurred, the whole audience banter thing is just done. It's just so boring at metal shows. Whereas in the past, remember, I lived for that. Although I must say, I do enjoy it if I go to a Maiden show or something like that. But with the metal of today, the long-form doom, Sleep, you know, some of the other bands we were talking about, long-form doom, I'm talking Yob, I'm talking Bellwitch, who opened up for Sleep on the show Jono went to, and at the Warfield, and blew him away, which I was really pleased to hear. That little interlude you heard, that little chaotic interlude you heard there, was the song Hollywood Squares from the, I believe now defunct band, the Dillinger Escape Plan. What a great name for a band. But then, and the title of this EP from 2002, Irony is a Dead Scene, with the great Mike Patton of Mr. Bungle and Faith No More, who I really love, on vocals. And let's just look at those lyrics real quick, because they're silly, but I think they connect with this sort of sentiment. And I love the title Hollywood Squares too, because I remember watching Hollywood Squares, and it makes me feel old and nostalgic and grumpy. But the way, if Patton, I would assume, is writing these lyrics, I think there's something even more fun and witty going on. Game over, you win. Game over, I win. The sleigh bells are a-ringing. The children, they are singing. The memories are fleeting. A little game of paper, scissors, rock. The wedding bells are ringing. The shotgun is a-singing. Now, your fingers steady. A little game of paper, scissors, rock. A lion tamer yelling. Your piano, your first piano lesson. A four-leaf contraceptive. We play a game of paper, scissors, rock. A sweaty palm reading, a lucky shot of whiskey. Now come and rub my belly, a little game of paper, scissors, rock. I just got to keep going because it's fun. O's and X's, Hollywood Squares. O's and X's, bloody tic-tac-toe. Not in your song, I'm not your singer. I'm not in your poem, I'm not your stanza. I'm not a color in your rainbow. But now which team are you rooting for? We're Hollywood Squares. We're going nowhere. I'm an X, you're an O. As this is the end, the end. I love it. And you know, what I take from it, and I've heard, some of you might be familiar with David Foster Wallace, but tragically took his life, incredible novelist. But talked also a lot about, you know, irony is a dead scene in his talks and his writings. But here, the way Patton captures it, I just love, you know. Defying with the lyrics and the obviously aggressive, repellent kind of music, dizzying music. But the lyrics, you know, we are what we are, and we make these silly categories, and who the hell cares? You know, to me, I take the interpretation as of, you know, we're sort of trapped in that world, but we can enjoy and experience things the way we want to experience them. We have a choice. I guess we don't have much choice of what the bands are going to do, but when Enslaved, you know, stopped and did their little spiel, I have to say I was disappointed, because my expectation for Enslaved, probably one of my all-time favorite bands, although you've heard me say that so often, just put it this way, I love Enslaved. They kicked into their Hollywood Squares mode there, and it just, for me, I don't know, it just kind of killed it. But the show was awesome. It was a short performance. But I thought we'd take a little detour here and kind of think about irony, catharsis, and my argument that the great music of today, metal, although I do love some campy, ironic sort of bands, but for me, what really pulls me in to metal at 47 years old is this metal where irony, there's no use for it. It's open, bare bones, cold, but bludgeoningly heavy, and frankly, there's no song, you know, not in your song. Patton says, I say, what I love about metal today is there is no song. I'm the listener and not the listener, and the listener who could give a crap about the song. And when I listen to Yob, Sleep, and so many others, I can't really pick songs. I think it's boring. And that's the most beautiful, amazing thing today. And I think really has a lot to do with why I love the listening experience of metal today. So we're going to explore that in some different and, you know, not necessarily sensical ways, or definitely not linear ways, but I hope you enjoy.
Remember that song, Ironic? Remember that one? Isn't it ironic? No, it's not. Ask me another. She kept naming all these things in the song that were supposed to be ironic, and none of them were. They were all just unfortunate. Song should have been called Unfortunate. That's ironic. The only ironic thing about that song is that it's called Ironic, and it's written by a woman who doesn't know what irony is. That's quite ironic when you think about it. She should have...
Enslaved's music embraces the darkness, but it also celebrates the light. Everything in life has its counterpart, the beauty and the decline and the rotting and the dying. But that's also leading up to fertile soil, new seeds and birth, and the more tender and mellow sides to life, as Bjornson puts it. If Enslaved reject monotheistic religions, it is because they constrain life's possibilities into a strict code. The concept of Ragnarok itself is misunderstood as the twilight of the gods and confused with the Christian notion of an apocalypse rather than, quote, a point in a cyclical movement that initiates another cyclical movement, end quote. According to Bjornson, Enslaved's relentless thirst for progression is not about morbidity, but the opposite. Quote, a calmness, a loosening, getting rid of that fear that's keeping progress at bay. Progress demands things to end in order to give room to new things. And that was from an interview with Ivar Bjornson, one of the founder of Enslaved, by Dan Franklin in The Quietus, Born to Ruin, Enslaved on the History of Enslaved, December 1st, 2016. And it's such a terrific interview. Again, I've been raving about The Quietus. They actually ask interesting questions and they get really interesting artists, you know, in metal to really open up and express, you know, a philosophy, a perspective of what they're doing in ways that are so interesting and not cliche or, ironic. And I don't think that there's anything at all special about, you know, this sort of critique of irony. You know, it's a desire for just pure experience. Of course, it's subjective, but sarcasm cuts lots of different ways. But I think the older I've gotten and the more curmudgeonly, the less interested in irony I have become. Enslaved definitely satisfies my sonic desire for music that I find totally lacking in irony. So many great songs. And I played a little clip there earlier from the song To the Coast from Enslaved's album Vertebrae, going back to 2008. And of course, I picked that one because, surprise. It has the word irony in it. Although I don't know how. Let's see. To the coast, but not across, static sanctuary, longing for the heart of the changer, chained to the past, a dream of liberation. The vultures above, they know, they've seen him linger here, where the barren land meets sea, the mother and the reaper, the irony of sorrow kept close, hanging head, gaze upon the waters, and turn back again like so many times before. Another band where just such poetic lyrics with so much depth. And to me, you know, the lyrics really reflect what Ivar was saying there. You know, how in change, in refinement, or going in different directions beyond what's already been done. There's a peacefulness found there, you know, that yearning restlessness of the artist, I think that's so common, is only fed through some kind of changing process. And great metal today not only strives for that, but it achieves it over and over and over and over again in a way that, frankly, I don't remember being a part of my metal listening experience growing up with the music in the 80s as much. Maybe there's some exceptions to that rule. But Enslaved, can't recommend them enough.
What direction were you looking to go to and do something different this time around, like always?
Yeah, thanks. It's not really a conscious process when we're making it and recording it. It's a bit of a, how to say, we're just trying and keep our minds open to the flow. That's kind of this creative flow going on there, and then there's some vision somewhere of where we want to go with it. We try to not be to not verbalize too much, like what we want to do with it. We don't like decide to be experimental or something like that. It just feels natural, and then we go along with it. It's interesting that you mentioned the dreamlike opening of the album, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. There's a bit of an intro that's a bit theatrical. It's we try to record make a bit of a sound recording of an excerpt from a part of the Northern mythology. A little episode or a scene there, and then the whole plan is a sort of that transitions into a dream, which is supposed to be like the listener's experience, sort of that in a dream version, and that's the entry portal to the album. So obviously that worked, so now I'm really happy.
Definitely. So what's this?
The chief obstacle is that we are quick to be satisfied with ourselves. If we find someone to call us good men, cautious and principled, we acknowledge him. We are not content with a modern eulogy, but accept as our due whatever flattery has shamelessly heaped upon us. We agree with those who call us best and wisest, although we know they often utter many falsehoods. We indulge ourselves so greatly that we want to be praised for a virtue which is the opposite of our behaviour. A man hears himself called most merciful while he is inflicting torture. So it follows that we don't want to change because we believe we are already excellent.
So that was Vincent Kennedy on YouTube reading from a quote from the great Stoic Seneca, "Fight the ego." I don't know how excellent we are, but I love the Stoic philosophy, and I again just more gushing accolades and recommendations. Read Seneca, read the Stoics. It's timeless and really profound in a way, perhaps for those of you that, you know, aren't really interested in the trappings of the other things I've been spewing on this podcast, namely Zen and the Buddha and, you know, an organized kind of religion. Stoicism is a philosophy, and one that I connect with greatly because of its simplicity, but I think also, yeah, it's got some deep wisdom in it. And of course, Marcus Aurelius, stop letting yourself be distracted. Instead, as if you were dying right now, despise your flesh, a mess of blood, pieces of bone, a woven tangle of nerves, veins, arteries. Decomposition of matter, which underlies each one of us. Water, dust, bones, stench. Don't look down on death, but welcome it. It too is one of the things required by nature. Like youth and old age, like growth and maturity, like a new set of teeth, a beard, the first gray hair, like sex and pregnancy and childbirth, this is how a thoughtful person should await death. Not with indifference, not with impatience, not with disdain, but simply viewing it as one of the things that happens to us. Maybe morphine isn't metal, but to me that's some pretty killer doom. And Morphine was one of my favorite bands growing, spending a lot of time college and grad school in Boston, Cambridge area, and seeing Morphine at the Middle East. Amazing band. That's Free Love from their second to last album from 1995. Yes, I love that record. Love just about all Morphine records, because I guess they're a band where I do like songs, but they just have such a unique sound, so I don't know if there's any of their songs I really don't like. For me, Morphine, there's nothing ironic in what they do. Free Love. You know, and that Free Love spirit gets me right to Bellwitch, and their truly astonishing single track record, Mirror Reaper. I feel the love. I mean, the tribute to Adrian, their drummer, who died, Jesse and Dylan, and their buddy Eric, aka Aerial Ruin, who appears on a lot of Bellwitch records, creates this just epic, overwhelming composition, Mirror Reaper. Got a lot of accolades last year and deserves it all. And when I listen to this music, and I'll be going to see them live in Philly on Friday, I can't wait. I feel the love through the catharsis, but I think to play this kind of music, however dark and heavy it might seem, there's just a deep love connection there. So let's go out with just listening to Mirror Reaper, and man, what an amazing record, an amazing band.
Yeah.
You know, like Black Sabbath, like those early Ozzy songs when he's like, you know, I want to kill myself or whatever the fuck he says. Like, he's not joking. He really doesn't feel good.
No, it's totally misanthropic music. I mean, it's the first. I mean, there's other. It's really the most definitional misanthropic. I mean, they're feeding off H.P. Lovecraft.